A new book says throughout American history, women have preferred to be in the home. The book is written by Gail Collins, the first woman to be editor of the New York Times editorial page. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with her.
Collins' book is called America's Women, 400 Years of Dolls, Drudges, Helpmates, and Heroines. Regardless of American women's preference for staying home, Collins makes the case they are often pushed out of the house. For example, they've been regularly deployed as replacement workers on farms and factories when men were called to war. When they are working mainly at home, American women put their energy into shaping the nation's social agenda, from fighting slavery to banning alcohol. But throughout history, women have been asked to do one thing in particular.
Women's most important implicit role has almost always been to make men behave one way or the other. When the first colony was established in Jamestown, it was about 200 guys there, and it turned into a rowdy fraternity party in the wilderness. One of the visitors came to see how they were doing and found that they were bowling in the streets. They were just not doing anything at all. It was a total disaster, and it became very important to the people who were funding the colonies in England that women be sent over to become wives, to make these guys settle down, start farming, start families.
Well, one of the surprises in the book to me was the idea that over these 400 years, American women have most of all wanted to be in the home.
Yeah, and it makes sense when you think about it. If you're a woman through most of our history, what are the options? The options are really not I'm going to be a doctor or I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be a field hand or I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be a factory worker or I'm going to stay home. And it was in the house where you really had the opportunity to run your own show.
By the mid-1800s, women were pushing the boundaries even further and speaking out against social injustice. In the South, two sisters, Angelina and Sarah Grimke, ignored tradition to take a stand against slavery.
They were the daughters of prominent slaveholders. They traveled north when women never traveled alone, and they started giving speeches to mixed audiences, which had never happened before. They went off and addressed the state legislatures, which had never happened before. They gave speeches while there were mobs outside throwing rocks through the window and screaming, and none of it seemed to bother them. They just popped right along, and after the war, Angelina married, which was a huge relief to the feminists in the North because no woman who spoke out for women's rights had ever gotten married before, and they were just thrilled that you could prove that you could combine getting a man and also standing up for women's rights.
Now, when you think about women and politics, it's less than 100 years since women got the right to vote in this country. When you look back at these heroines, why weren't they insisting on the right to vote?
There was always a desire by some women to vote. But many women didn't regard it as all that important, and they didn't like sort of the vision that you had of politics back then, which was a lot of drunkenness, drunken guys running around with fires and torches. And well, they began to get interested in great masses when it became clear that you could vote for temperance. They were really, really, really interested in the idea, again, of making men behave.
So we come back to that theme of civilizing the male population.
Right. The men were drinking like crazy, and it was going very badly for a lot of poor women who had husbands who were drunkards. And women became really obsessed with the idea of getting rid of alcohol.
What about the sexuality? Do you see the sexuality change over the years?
Early American women were supposed to be lusty. In fact, one of the jobs of the husbands was to kind of keep them in control and keep that sexual component, you know, sort of reined in. When we moved into the sort of early 19th century, there was a theory that women weren't sexual because women were different from men. Anything that men were, women were going to be the opposite. So if men were lustful, women were chaste. They didn't have any sexual drive. But yet, naturally, you notice over all these years, they were somehow figuring out how to use birth control, and they were working out their own deals as they went along.
Gail Collins, anyone who comes to this book talking about dolls, drudges, helpmates, and heroines has got to wonder about you, because you've risen to a very high level, high station in American life as the editorial page editor at the New York Times. So how do you qualify? Are you a doll, a drudge, a helpmate, or a heroine?
I like to think we have moved beyond those. You know, people ask me sometimes whether the New York Times ever changes an editorial policy, and I tell them, well, we did change our mind about women's suffrage. You know, I come in every day, there's this big boardroom, and I'm on one side running the editorial board meetings, and on the other side are portraits of a guy named Henry Raymond and Charles Miller, who were the two editors during the 19th century who wrote frequently about how women did not need the right to vote. So I always like to come in the morning and say, hi, Henry, you know, hi, Charles, you know, it's Gail here. I got your job now.
Gail Collins is the author of America's Women, 400 Years of Dolls, Drudges, Helpmates, and Heroines. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.